Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for joining us today. Two-time Tony winner Christine Ebersole is Broadway royalty. She is simply a lady with an incredible voice.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hidey-hi and whoop-de-doo, the lullaby of Broadway.
Miss Ebersole will be performing at Lincoln Center's Alice Tully Hall on February 20th as part of Lincoln Center's American Songbook Series. We are so happy to partner with Lincoln Center on this project by previewing some of the events, especially when someone like Christine Ebersole comes to the studio. Hi.
Hi.
So this 15-concert series is the American Songbook. Now, when I say American Songbook to you, Christine, what does that mean?
It means great, great, great American songs. Just the canon is just so vast and expansive that I love singing songs that I relate to, and there's so much great writing.
It's interesting. We had the programmers in earlier this week, and they talked about wanting to expand what the songbook meant. Why do you think that's important creatively, to expand the American songbook?
Because there's always great songs being written that need to be recognized. I think it's hard when you have a certain set of music that conveys certain feelings, and then you kind of move into another area that the story's told in a different way, and sometimes it's hard to adapt to the newness of it, but I think it's important.
Your performance is called An Evening with Christine Ebersole, and it's directed mm-hmm. by Scott Whitman. Mm-hmm. When have you worked with him before?
Scott and I have known each other for, almost 40 years. The very first club act that I did in New York City, his writing partner, Mark Shaman, was the musical director, and he was 19 at the time. So, and I was doing Camelot on Broadway with Richard Burton. And when I lived in Los Angeles, I wanted to do a club act out there, and that was 17 years later. And so Scott helped me put that together.
When you say someone's directed a musical performance, can you describe for our listeners what that person does and what he brings to the project?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, our history together, really Scott is kind of my mentor in the sense that he really taught me the formula, you know, taught me the format of this kind of evening that just includes many different aspects of my life, not just straight performing, you know. My family, my children, my mother, my father, my friends, and the business. So it's kind of an all-inclusive evening in that sense.
So we really get to meet you.
Yes.
During the course of this performance.
Yes.
That's interesting. Did you know what you wanted, stories you wanted to share? Did you check in with family members to make sure it was okay to share those stories?
No, it's... In a way, it's kind of an accumulation of my life's work in this area, and I'm so excited to be able to experience this and express this at Alice Tully Hall. But there are some new things in the show, but a lot of the things that are in the show are things that I have sung throughout my career.
Is there one particular song or one or two songs that you get just really excited to sing? Did you find yourself getting geared up?
I think it's pretty much the accumulation of all of it, really, because there's such a variety of great music that's in the evening, and there's so many different layers and aspects of that you really can't point to one. It's like a favorite child, you know?
Well, how about that? Is there one that's more challenging to you as a vocalist?
I think I always like to choose music that can be vocally challenging. But I just really experience all of it and appreciate all of it and am excited to sing it.
I like how you keep saying the name of the show in your answers. I appreciate that. My guest is Christine Ebersole. I was watching your Great American Songbook series that you did at NJPAC, and with Seth Rudetsky.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this great, when he introduced you, he said something with great energy and enthusiasm. He said, a soprano who can belt.
Mm.
Why, just for folks who are, you know, maybe don't understand why that's a big deal. Why is that a big deal? Take yourself out of the equation, a soprano who can belt. And how has that shaped your career and your music choices?
Well, I think it's broadened the opportunities, really, because I'm not seen just as one thing. For example, when I auditioned for Oklahoma, I was asked to audition for the soprano role of Lori. And I did. I went in there and auditioned for it. But right before I left, I said, can I audition for Ado Annie? And I did, and I got that part, you know. So I really appreciate being able to do both of those things, and it's given me a lot of opportunity.
That's interesting that you talked about your versatility, because so much now is siloed. You know, you're a comedic actress, mm-hmm. you're a dramatic actress, you're mm-hmm. Broadway, you're off-Broadway, you're experimental. Why? Sometimes it almost can be more difficult to be versatile because people can't put a bumper sticker on your head.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So why have you remained committed to being versatile, to being expansive?
Well, I think mostly it comes from interest, you know, things that I'm interested in, and that it's a wide range of things that I'm interested in. And I also, I think I challenge that convention of wanting to pigeonhole people. I don't want to be pigeonholed, so I think I kind of maybe purposely go outside of that, you know, so that I can't be pegged.
You started, this was in a Boston Globe interview, and please correct me because the internet is often wrong, that you started as a jazz singer in a nightclub when you were just 20 years old.
Yeah.
How did you land in a jazz club at 20?
Well, it was the piano player, Marty Henney, who was playing at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in the dance classes and in the music classes. And so we just kind of on the side got together, and I went over to his house, and he introduced these wonderful jazz songs to me, and we just took it out. So the first place that I performed was a place called Gypsies on 58th and 1st, and it was run by this wonderful man named Gypsy James Hawk. He was a very unconventional kind of a guy, and that was the first time I performed publicly.
My guest is Christine Ebersole. An evening with Christine Ebersole will be part of the American Songbook Series at Lincoln Center. It's going to be on Wednesday, February 20th at 7:30 at Alice Tully Hall. So your stage work has been quite inventive as well. I'm thinking about War Paint most mm-hmm. recently, mm-hmm. where you played Elizabeth Arden. And yeah. Patti LuPone said of stage work, when you're on the stage with somebody, especially in a two-person play or musical, that she was, quote, looking for a brother or sister on stage, and she found that with you, which mm-hmm. is a lovely thing. What is a relationship like on stage when it's just two actors?
Well, you also, you speak to the generosity of a performer and how it affects how what you do on stage, and Patti is a very generous performer. So it made it easy, and at the same time, kept me on my toes because, you know, she's not a slouch. And so there's no resting on your laurels when you're on stage with Patti.
That's so interesting. I want to play a clip of the song Pink because I read it's one of your favorites from the show. This is Christine Ebersole from War Paint.
Is that all I'm worth to them? A color? Pink. Is that my only claim to fame? Pink, my shot at permanent acclaim. Pink, my legend branded with a rose, immortalized in poesy. Pink, on Mamie Eisenhower's lips. Pink, on Mrs. Astor's roots and tips. Pink, the box is packaged with a bow that cost more than the lotion.
Why is that one of your favorite songs from the show?
It's really like an aria, I think. I mean, the narrative is just, it's epic. And it takes you through such an unbelievable journey. And vocally and narratively.
Also, Grey Gardens, where you played both parts, Little Edie and Big Edie. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you first saw the documentary of Grey Gardens? And what would you think when you saw it?
I didn't think it would make a great musical. I mean, that never occurred to me. Wow, this will make a great musical. But I absolutely was completely riveted by that documentary. I really was. I think the part that really was so compelling to me was how these two beautiful women that were born into the station of high society, that you think somehow it would prevent them from coming to the place that they got into. And that was this, you know, place of squalor and, you know, it was just total disrepair, the house that they lived in, and fallen from grace in that sense. I was so compelled by how it happened. How could that happen?
I was also, and also, sort of, there's also layered through there, they still carry themselves with a certain air, especially Little Edie, mm-hmm. of royalty. There was a certain mm-hmm. sort of carriage of her mm-hmm. by her paying so much attention to the way she dressed, even though it was somewhat
unconventional.
Conventional, the way she dressed. Actually, let's listen to a clip of a song that's called The Revolutionary Costume for Today from Grey Gardens.
Oh, hi. Thank heaven you're here. You look absolutely terrific, honestly. Mother wanted me to come out in a kimono, so we had quite a fight. The best kind of clothes for a protest pose is this ensemble of pantyhose pulled over the shorts, worn under the skirt that doubles as a cape. To reveal you in capri pants, you fashion out of ski pants in a jersey knit designed to fit the contour of your shape. Then cinch it with the cord from the drape. And that's the revolutionary costume for today, to show the polo riders in khakis and topsiders just what a revolutionary costume has to say. It can't be ordered from L.L. Bean. There's more to living than Kelly Green. And that's the revolution, I mean.
Christine Ebersole from Grey Gardens. That accent. How long did you work on the accent?
Well, I was so obsessed with the movie, I don't know, I guess I was able to hear it somehow, because I watched that movie about a year and a half before I had gotten the offer to come and do the workshop. So it was almost like the universe was preparing me for that moment. And I guess the way I understood it or digested it in a way was just to hear the music and the rhythm. That's sort of how it happened, I guess.
Yeah, there is an interesting rhythm. That's the right word. Mm-hmm, that to the mm-hmm. way she speaks, the music mm-hmm. matches
the cadence, yeah.
the cadence mm-hmm. of her speech. When you did that part, what did you want to imbue in the mother and the daughter when you thought about them and how you wanted the audience to be introduced to them and understand them?
Well, I think the first commitment is to honor their humanity. And I think that's what I tried to do. The dignity of these two women that were living in these very difficult, you know, conditions and surviving, and not only that, but in a funny way, thriving. Almost like phoenixes that were rising out of the ashes when they were in their high position in society, they weren't able to do those things that they could do once everything had gone to ruin. Mm-hmm. They were able to sort of find themselves, really, their authentic selves in this house of disrepair.
You've done so many varied roles, Oklahoma, 42nd Street, Gay Gardens, War Paint. Is there something that you'd like to tackle that you haven't yet? Or you think would be really interesting to try?
Well, this summer I'm going to tackle opera.
Wow.
At Glimmerglass.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm spending the summer up there. I was offered to play the part of the Countess in Tchaikovsky's Queen of Spades. So that's a new experience for me.
There's but clapping in the control room. Our big opera fan is...
Oh, fantastic. I'm excited. I'm very excited about it.
Wow. When do you start working on that?
As soon as I get back from L.A., I'm going out to L.A. in April to shoot a pilot for CBS, a Chuck Lorre new pilot called Bob Hart's Abishola, where I play Bob's mother. And so after that, then I'm going to get with a coach, an opera coach, and start learning.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and also going to be doing Parthian Showboat up there as well.
You're busy. You're very busy. One more project that you have, Driveways?
Driveways.
Tell me about Driveways.
Driveways. Oh, my gosh. That was such a great movie that I did last summer. Mm-hmm. And it's about a boy and his mother and sort of fitting in or not fitting in. And I'm the neighbor. I played the part of the neighbor. So I was thrilled to be a part of that.
So I've got movies, TV pilot, opera, American Songbook.
Exactly, at Lincoln Center.
This is a completely serious question. How do you relax? What do you do to take care of yourself? Because that is a lot of work.
It is a lot.
Take care of your throat, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for you?
Well, I have a beautiful home that I share with my husband of 30 years in Maplewood, New Jersey. And I have my eldest son is there now attending the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. And I have two other children. One lives in Los Angeles and one is a senior at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. And we have five animals, two dogs, two cats, and a bird. And so people ask me, well, I know you're asking me how I'm taking care of myself, but this is part of it, actually, is that, you know, people say, well, how do you keep your voice, you know, how do you keep it in shape? And it really is about talking to the animals. There's a certain pitch that you have, you know. I don't know if you have any animals or not, but yeah, you know, there's a certain sort of talk that you have, a specific kind of voice that you use with the animals that keeps my voice limbered. But that, you know, it's just, it's having, you know, the home is my sanctuary, and to be surrounded by people that I love and animals that I love. And it's a wonderful community. So that kind of equalizes everything. I mean, it just balances it all.
An Evening with Christina Ebersole is part of the American Songbook Series at Lincoln Center. It is happening this Wednesday, February 20th at 7:30 p.m. at Alice Tully Hall. For tickets and information, you can go to lincolncenter.org. It was a pleasure meeting you, Christine.
Such a pleasure speaking with you.
Coming up, our friends from Gothamist will catch us up on some of the cultural stories they're watching and breaking open this week. Stay with us.